What's up and welcome to Sweathead with Mark Pollard. I have Lucas Ribeiro and Kazuo Kubo, who are both ACDs, Associate Creative Directors at McCann in New York. They're from Brazil, which means I get to ask questions about one of my favorite places in the world. Today, we're actually going to talk about it, how ideas happen in advertising, because these gentlemen who are teachers on the side were kind enough to share a deck on LinkedIn. And it's quite rare, I believe, to see creatives who are active in advertising and kind of still chasing their careers publishing much on the internet. I feel like creatives are usually a little more private or very snarky about other people's work in the comments section. So really excited to have you both here today. Kazuo, tell me about your partnership, how you came together and your career to date.
First of all, thanks, Mark, for having us. We are podcast lovers. We've been listening to your podcast and learning about strategy and many topics. Well, Lucas and I wrote a book. We teach in many schools. We are mentors in many programs. So yeah, we really believe in sharing knowledge, and this is good for everyone. I'm from south of Brazil. It's a city called Porto Alegre. Lucas is from Rio. We met in São Paulo because the only city you can make good work in Brazil. Almost, it's very difficult to produce stuff outside São Paulo. And there in São Paulo, there are many good agencies. Lucas and I worked in 6 or 7 agencies. So we've been working together for 9 years. We were creative directors in Brazil. And then this guy, this legend in Brazil, Icaro Doria, called us to join him at Hill Holiday Boston. So we moved to the US 2.5 years ago. And after 1.5 years in Boston, we moved to New York. So here we are at McCann.
Very, very cool. Awesome. Lucas, is it racist of me to assume that because you come from Rio that you like carioca funk?
Actually, I'm not a huge fan of funk.
I could sense that.
But actually, it's so interesting because since I moved, I think it kind of I judge or I value things in a different way than I used to. For example, I didn't used to hear country music from Brazil, and now I like it, you know, it belongs to my culture, where my roots are. So I have now this respect about things that were created in Brazil.
Couple of questions before we get into ideas in advertising. Sao Paulo, I think it's 22, 23 million people. It's a mega city. I've been there a couple of times, and it's a tough city to really, for me, there's not a lot to see. But if you know good people, the food's good, the people are great, but it's just this big city, right? It is the heart of advertising in Brazil as well. When you look back, how would you describe your experience there in two ways, creatively and then having lived there as a human?
São Paulo is a city that you don't have a lot of nature, things to do in terms of enjoying the day, this kind of stuff that you see in Rio, for example, that you can go to the beach or you have the lagoon, this kind of activities that we like to do. And the weather is better in Rio, it's hotter, so it's kind of warmer there. So I think the reason people go to Rio, even when they are working there, is more I want to have a balance, you know, I want to find time to work and also enjoy the day, enjoy this nature and this city. São Paulo is different. I think if you go to São Paulo, it's because you want to work and want to make money, you want to evolve your career. It changed the mindset of people, the place itself. It's different. Everybody share the same mindset. They are there for a reason, and the reason is to be good, and the reason is to make money, and the reason is to improve.
Well, I'm from a small town. So when I moved to São Paulo, it was very, very scary. And my first job in my hometown was, I joined the army, was my first job. I spent 3 years in the army. Then I went to work in construction because I thought I want to be an architect. Then I found out about advertising in the army, which is crazy. And then I started in agencies, but agencies in my hometown is 100 people and there are, 1, 2, or maybe 3 good agencies. So when I moved to São Paulo, it was scary. The city is huge. Everything is far. Everything is a journey and you don't know anyone. So I started showing my book in agencies. I went to, 11 agencies, and I got a freelance for 5 days at JWT at the time. It was crazy to see how many good people are in a city, in an agency, and this energy.
You obviously have a Japanese background. Brazil is super diverse with nature, but also with people. little pockets of Japanese population, even in Sao Paulo as well. What was it like growing up? How does Brazil respond to people from different groups, different backgrounds?
Yeah, so my dad moved from Japan to Brazil when he was 8, and he had to learn the Portuguese, and he still struggles. It's tough. And he studied like Portuguese in college just to learn the language, and it's so difficult. So I saw his struggles, and I understand it very well now because I moved to the U.S., so I'm facing the same struggles. Well, São Paulo is the biggest Japanese community outside Japan, but in my hometown, I was the only one. I always was the strange guy, like, oh, look, there's a Japanese here. What is he doing here? I am a vegetarian, and in my hometown, it's very meat because it's close to Argentina, so the meat culture. Well, my mom is from, she was born in a farm, so the whole culture is about barbecue and it's stuff. So I was vegetarian, I'm a Japanese, I play hockey in Brazil. So I was, yeah, the weirdo for sure. It was very strange, not my whole life, but I'm used to it.
I remember watching the Olympics pretty recently when it was in Brazil, and I think there was a pretty famous Japanese backgrounded, forgive that language, but Japanese backgrounded gymnast. And I was like, oh my God, I didn't think about that. And I looked into it and I was like, oh my God, there's a big population, huge. This is why I like to travel. It just teaches you how stupid you are and how much stuff you can learn and how amazing people are. That's really what I'm just pointing a finger at myself and just like learning things as I get older. It's kind of funny.
I have to say something about Kazu because he mentioned that he plays hockey, but actually Kazu played for the Brazilian national team. He has been playing for the Brazilian national team. So it's like really awesome like that he has this kind of passion, you know, like this hobby, but it's almost something bigger because like, you know, like when you represent your country, I think it's something amazing. And it's a fun fact about Kazu.
Ice hockey or grass hockey? In the US, when you say hockey, it's ice hockey. In Australia, if you said hockey, we'd assume it's grass hockey. Which one?
So in Brazil, I started roller hockey, but it's very similar to ice hockey. So when I arrived in Boston, I started learning how to skate on ice. So I've been playing on ice for 3 years, and yeah, I play for the ice national team. And my son's 5, he's learning, and it's great to see him learning in the right place.
Hockey in the Northeast is quite an elite sport because it's so expensive, and these young kids are getting, you know, $300 private lessons. This is what you've come across?
Yeah, it's a tough sport, but NHL is doing a great job in including people because they have a program you pay like $200 and you get all gear and you can start, you have 6 lessons. So they know it's hard, so they're trying to facilitate. It's tough. It's comparing to soccer that you only need a ball. You don't need a ball, actually. In my hometown, we used to play with plastic bottles and anything. In Brazil, we play soccer with a banana if you have it.
I'd like to see that, actually. Play soccer with a banana. Someone's definitely getting hurt, especially if they're a little bit older and, you know, skipping leg day. Biggest culture shock as far as working in advertising in the US?
It's so weird to talk about this because sometimes I think it's so different and sometimes I think it's the same. I would say that it's the same game, but in a different condition. Like the timings are different. And I think this plays a big role here, important role here. A lot of things that I only realized when I stepped in this country, like I had no idea. I think the idea of learning a different language is very challenging because you think you're gonna learn the verbs, you know, you're gonna learn the prepositions, the phrasal verbs. But when you get here, you're talking about green card. I don't know. You're talking about like bureaucracy. You're talking about like this kind of boring stuff that you have to deal with. And it's so challenging. There is nothing that will prepare you to this. Nothing. Like you can talk to people. You can search. No. When you get here, you understand like it's different. The game is difficult.
I like to say we are 38-year-old newborns. We are learning everything again. Everything changed. Our race changed. I'm not a Japanese here. In Brazil, I was the only option is to be a Japanese if you're Asian. Here, you can be anything. People think I'm Mexican. People think I'm anything, but they don't think I'm Japanese. It's crazy. So the whole culture, the characters, the movies I saw, I don't know how to explain to people because the name is different. Because I saw them with a title in Portuguese, even if I saw it in English with subtitles. But the name in Portuguese and the characters, everything, the culture. So sometimes I talk about a small thing from Brooklyn. I'll never know about this. It's tough.
Even these small things, like I had a car in Brazil, like a driver license. When I came here, everything again. And like, you have to pass in this test. Then I failed twice, man. I was like, oh my goodness, like, it's impossible. Like, everything is so challenging. And even these small things, like, for example, I was cooking with my girlfriend, Allie, and like, she was, oh, let's make this lasagna. And I was like, okay. We gather all the ingredients. And she was like, but where is this? There was a kind of cheese, I think cottage, something like this. And she was like, I was like, oh my goodness. Like, I never tasted like a lasagna with this kind of cheese. And for her, it was so obvious. She was surprised with me, like not knowing this or, and even like the way we make it in Brazil. And we had to agree, okay, now this turn is going to be the Brazilian lasagna. Next time will be the American lasagna, you know?
And in terms of work, it's hard as well, because we are in the beginning, we're starting our careers, but we are old. We have the old minds. So it's tough because, yeah, we need to know everybody again. We need to show our book. We need to present ourselves in agencies.
Final question before we get into having or coming up with award-winning ideas. So far, and from a professional point of view, so far, what's been the best thing for you working in the US?
Well, it's the biggest industry in the world, I think, the biggest market. So it's great to be here. All the big brands are here. It's the same reason I moved and Lucas moved to São Paulo, to pursue bigger challenges, bigger clients, bigger everything. And you see how prepared the people are in São Paulo compared to the rest of Brazil, and here in the US compared to the rest of the world. So yeah, it's been amazing. The industry here, for me, it's the best in the world.
Yeah, I think the impact of the work that you produce here is way bigger than we could do in Brazil. And I think for us, it was like, it's key to be here because this is the kind of work that we were wishing to do.
No, even a silly post. We posted about this Google Slides and now we are here recording a podcast in English and everybody will listen. So, yeah.
Yeah, that is definitely one of the good things about moving to an epicenter, so to speak.
And Mark, I think there is something that we as Brazilians, but as foreigners, we can add to this culture, because we bring these fresh eyes. They give us an opportunity to see things that people here can't. We find solutions because we see problems in a different way. It's very important to have this combination, you know, like natives, foreigners, people from different backgrounds. It makes the work better just because you add like different ingredients and the taste will be amazing.
When I was in Brazil last year, I talked to a lot of people who would talk to me about a thing that they think is a fact about Brazilians. And that is that in the US, sometimes you have to specialize at a very young age. You know, you could work in this industry and maybe just work on email for 10 years if you're not careful. Well, maybe you love email, it's totally fine. In Brazil, there's this idea that maybe you are a copywriter, but maybe you're a DJ, maybe you're a model, maybe you have a little business on the side. It feels more expansive. And I'm, you know, obviously being involved with lots of different things can also help you to see problems differently, let alone coming from a different culture. Is what I said true? Because this is what I was told a lot last year, that Brazilians often have their fingers in a lot of different things.
Yeah, for sure. And we as creative, we really believe that we need to be like Batman, you know, comparing Batman to Superman, for example. Superman was born like superpowers. He's not from Earth. He's from another planet. So he's super fast, super strong. He has everything. But Batman, no. Batman is a regular person who had to learn the skills, had to learn how to fight and build weapons and having a team to support him and learning different skills to become a superhero. So yeah, we really believe in the Batman mentality, and learning different skills every day as creatives is so important. So for example, these days we're doing an idea that is a Snapchat filter. I never did a Snapchat filter, but I started searching on the internet. Okay, is it possible for me to do it, to produce this idea so it would make it easier to present? Yeah, I found out with my knowledge in Photoshop and 3D, I'm able to do this. So we did it. We presented to our CCO with the lenses online, like, hey, this is the idea and the execution is this. It's on Snapchat already, and that's it. So it makes everything easier if you know a lot of skills. And it's always a sum. Things are changing, yeah, new tools, AI, but it's a sum. Like things I learned in the past, like 20 years ago about animation in Flash at a time, I still use it because the software animation is the same logic of a keyframe, of a timeline. So it's the same logic and language. So all skills you learn, you'll be using at some point.
Let's get into this deck. Okay, I'm going to put a link to this in the notes of the podcast as well. It's called How to Come Up with Award-Winning Ideas. The first slide talks about the word idea. Let's compare notes. What's an advertising idea specifically?
So actually, this is one of the crazy things that changed when we moved to the US. We didn't know what an idea was. In Brazil, if you ask for an idea, you're asking for executions. Like, oh, okay, you need to have an idea. Oh, let's think about an activation or a film. But no, here they wanted a platform. And we know in Brazil, if they ask for a platform, we can come up with platform ideas and concepts and manifestos. But we had this time to understand what they were asking. It's tough because if you don't know the problem, you can't come up with solutions. So this was the first thing to learn what an idea was. It's a tricky word. It can mean a lot of things. So first of all, you need to understand what they're asking. They want a platform, a concept, or they want a small execution or anything.
Platform is definitely more used in the US, and it's a weird word, right? Because you could have a brand platform that's more of like a strategy thing, or you could have a brand platform that's more of a creative department thing. It's kind of weird. And the way that I define the word platform is it's a thing you stand on for a period of time. Because sometimes the tagline becomes the platform and then it gets moved the night before a presentation. So it's weird. It's confusing, right?
Words change. There are new words every day, but the things are the same. Like, yeah, we need to solve the client's problem with creative ideas, creative solutions using the tools available now. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think trying to summarize idea for us, it's the thought behind, you know, it's almost the basis, like, you know, what you're gonna, the floor, the thing you're gonna build like from the ground up, you know, I think that's it. Like this, the starting, you know, the initial thought, what you're trying to solve here.
But at the very least, I think, especially if any younger creatives listen to this, understanding that an execution or tactic is separate from an idea, and the idea could last hopefully for 3, 4, 5, maybe 10 years with lots of different executions. That's sort of step one, I think, for a lot of creatives coming through, just to realize there's a different way to categorize the kinds of thoughts that people are having. So then you talk about studying the brief. What specifically are you looking in this moment? Some of which might come through documents and some of which might come through your own research or through conversations. What are you looking for when a brief reaches you?
Everything. Yeah, we need to understand everything about the product, about the competition, what was done in the past. So we need to go to the YouTube channel, see everything from the competition, this brand we're creating for, study everything. And about the brief, sometimes there are, like, I don't know, 10 pages. And it's great because it's a lot of information we need to have. But you need to find, okay, what exactly I'm looking for here, what they need. And a lot of ideas are born based on a fact of the history of the brand or a small thing that no one noticed before that is great about the brand, about the product. So study the brief is this. You need to know everything about that.
I would like to add just a few things, like exactly what Kazu said. We try to help our students or people who come to us to asking how to come up with ideas, this kind of stuff. It's like sometimes you have to put yourself in the consumer's place. Like if it's a car, think about like how it is to drive this car. What is the feeling? Like put yourself in the perspective of someone who is looking, who is driving, for example. Almost like a 3D. Like think that you go there, you see, you touch, you look at all the places, all the corners just to see if there's something there is hidden there. I think this is, it's very important. That's why we talk about it, like study the brief.
So at this phase, we want to understand the problem we're trying to solve, understand a bit about the audience, what's been done in the past, what's happening with the competition, what are benchmarks for what's good as far as the advertising, etc. I feel like, Lucas, if I was to read into what you're saying there. So first of all, creativity and narcissism correlate necessarily because the creative mind is like, what's in my head that I need to get out, where the creative mind's quite self-oriented. It's infatuated with itself. And it has to be, because then it's like, okay, I'm going to write a book or I'm going to make a movie. And what I think, if I'm reading into what you're saying there, Lucas, is you're going to have that. That's what drives the creative mind. But it's not about you. So get out of your head. Look at what's happening in the world. Is that the subtext to what you're saying there, Lucas, based on teaching younger creatives?
Yeah, sure. That's it. And also, creativity is so difficult, right? I think the advertising is very difficult, or things that are related to come up with ideas or things you have to create. They are challenging because we are basically showing our thoughts. And the thoughts represent who we are in a certain way. So when we fail, it makes us feel bad. That's why a bunch of creatives, I don't know, like 100% of have like this imposter syndrome. Because that's it. You're showing yourself and it's not enough. But it's just the ideas. You can come up with more ideas. It's not a problem. It's not who you are. But we tend to think this way. You know, I failed. The ideas were not approved. I have to redo the work, so I'm not good enough. But in fact, no. It's just some ideas or a subject that you need to study a little bit more, or that you're not so comfortable with. But there will be another one, another brief that you will shy. That's the kind of thing that we try to talk to people, because we assume that it's our responsibility to be good 100% of the time. It's just impossible. So I think trying to be confident about who you are and about the effort that you're putting into the work, and then you see if there is something else that you need to do. If you don't have ideas approved, that's fine. Next round, let's do it again. It's the game.
Smart person. Hey, pull your mind out of those timesheets for a second and take a look at the Sweathead website. We have 3 membership levels: Starter Mode, Flight Mode, and Beast Mode. They give you access to a variety of strategy masterclasses, conferences, accelerators, and online learning, some of which has been known to make people cry because they like it, they like it, they feel seen. Make the most of your mind this year or any year and visit www.sweathead.com today. Now back to the interview. The next, it's not really a step, it's a general thing. The next thing that you talk about in this deck is study advertising. In a week, how much time do you think you spend looking at advertising?
Well, now less, because we know already a lot of things. But every time a new award is on, like, we go into the winners, to the award work, and try to look everything, because you need to know what's happening. Even to not reply the same thing, because it's easy to have similar ideas. So you need to know everything that's happening. And advertising, it's not like crazy. Oh, I have a crazy idea. No. There are formulas. So once you know the formulas, okay, I will do a metaphor here. No, I'll do a comparison, or I'll create a character, or for this one, let's create a shop or a museum. So there are formulas. And once you know the formulas, your work starts to get easier. It's never easy, but it starts to get easier.
Maybe techniques more than formulas. Which is the more accurate word?
Yeah, but there is something for sure. We have to study every day. There's no other way. We have to study every day. Like, Kazu and I, we talk about advertising basically every day of our lives. Whether we are listening to a podcast, or we are reading an article, or we are watching a show, we are always thinking with the advertising perspective, with advertising lens. So that's it. Like, there's no other way. You have to study, and you have to understand how things are, because everything can help you to come up with an idea.
So then the brief reaches you, and obviously it could be a marketing brief, or it could be a strategy brief from within the agency. How do you two then work together? What's your process or approach?
Yeah, so after 20 years in this industry, we develop this process that is working. We like to have ideas separately. As we said, we need to study the brief and study advertising. So we do this part separately. We study the brief, we look at a lot of things. And this is good to do separately, because maybe I'm looking at different stuff than Lucas is. So we will bring different thinking, different insights to the table. This is great. So we agree between ourselves, okay, let's bring to the meeting between us 5 ideas each, 10 ideas to discuss. It doesn't need to be like a complete idea done, ready to go. It can be just an insight, a data, or something like this. So once we have it, we have 10 things to discuss in a meeting. The time is more productive. Yeah, we learned this like working together for 90 years. At the beginning was tough. We didn't know what to do. I would say even the pandemic helped, because we are forced to be separate. Because before we used to go to a meeting room and stay there for hours, like talking about the problem, and it wasn't so productive. I think more, and now it's more productive.
Yeah. Can I add something about, it's not the process itself. It's something that is, I don't know, that lies behind this, that is the relationship that we built together. Now we have this process, but to have this process, we had other process, and everything was always very smoothie, like for us, because we've been very respectful to each other. And I think this is very important. There is no other option. You can't partner with someone if you don't respect the person, if you're not honest, and if you're not humble to admit that you're not always right. So I think this is not the process, but it's an important thing that we have, our creatives have to have in their minds.
And for each person will be different. They need to find a better process. And in the beginning of our career, we had this goal. Every day we arrived at the agency at 9. People in Brazil used to, they arrive at the agency like 10, 10:30. So we are early risers. So we like to go to the agency early. We started having ideas at 9 because our minds are fresh. This works for us. So from 9 to 10 or from 9 until our CDs arrive or the CCO arrives, we are having ideas, proactive ideas. We had a goal, like every day we need to come up with 5 ideas. So at the end of the week, we have 25 ideas to discuss. They don't need to be great because at the end of the week, we can select. So yeah, we have like 3 good ideas. So let's put a board together and present to the CDs. This is what we do. We did at some point in our careers and it worked. Of course, now we're older, so it's different. But I think it was really good for us to keep our minds always working and coming up with ideas and searching. Because once you're trying to solve a problem, you're looking for examples and you're studying. So you're getting better in this process.
In this case, because you mentioned, we also studied our bosses. Like some people, they prefer to get to the agency at the agency by 10 or by 10:30. But we had this boss at TBWA that he loved to like be very early at the agency, like 9. And as soon as we understood this, like, okay, so like 8:59, we are going to be here 1 minute before him. Every day he saw us at the agency working. It's not about working way more than everybody else. It's more about understanding like who you're working with so you can play around and, you know, find the right times and show yourself in a very good way.
Let me highlight a few points for people who are not in a creative department. One, I think, is you can have the most specific process in the world. And what I've found is companies that focus on process around creativity do so because they're not good at creativity. There's a correlation there. You can have the biggest, most specific process in the world, but people still need to calibrate towards each other. Creative teams, hopefully, are working together for a long time. So they actually have different incentives to most other people in the agency where they need their relationship to work more than they need a relationship with other people to work at times. All right. We also heard about trying different ways of working, which obviously might have involved some angry conversations at some point, perhaps. And then, you know, we've got to sort this out. We heard about discipline. It really does help. You'll hear from the top creative people in the world. They're very disciplined to allow the chaos to happen. And then also, I think it's interesting. You're using the word idea in a slightly looser way than I usually would, but it sounds like it could be an idea such as Earth Hour for WWF. We'll get the world to turn its lights off for an hour. Or it could be maybe a little stunt or a provocation or a question. Proactivity. And so there's something about the way that you built, especially your early careers, that's like going to the gym. We're going to work out. We're going to get together. We're going to try to get good at this. And then we're going to be noticed for being good at this. Did you find that going to the office early and having these ideas, 25 ideas in a week or so, did that give you a reputation?
At some point, yeah, we were recognized, not because we were always there and working and doing the best we could, but the result comes. If you do a lot, you have a lot as a result. So it always worked for us. Sometimes for other people will not work, but yeah, we like to work like this.
Mark, I would like to add something about this because what you said is so important. We always try to tell our students and our people who talk to us about this because think about not only about the creative work, think about you as a professional, like what is the image you're selling How is your brand? And working on your brand so you get a better reputation, for example. How do you want people see yourself? It's an important question.
Yeah, and sometimes it is about the less mistakes you make. Because if you do the basic, you're doing more than the most of people out there. So if you arrive at the time, if you work, if you solve your problems in an easy way, if you're respectful, if you say good morning, thank you, congratulations, this basic stuff, most of people are not doing.
In sports, they'll often call what we're talking about non-negotiables. So like, I'm going to get to the office at 9. We're going to come up with 5 ideas. Like, they're just things that are built into a team that a coach is like, they're just non-negotiables. And if you can have non-negotiables for yourself, that's how you can really build a powerful career. So you talk about insight. There's definitely a conflict. And obviously, I work with a lot of strategists. And sometimes the strategists can get frustrated that they might have an insight on a creative brief. If the creative brief's good, they might have an insight. And then the creative team either ignores it or they go and come up with their own quote-unquote insight. It can feel like there's a wrestle about who gets to use the word. What's your point of view?
For us, the idea is the boss. So if the best insight's coming from media, from production, from strategy, it doesn't matter. The best one will win. If we think it's not enough, we can search for more and have better ones. And this will always work. We like to think like, okay, the idea is what we are doing, but the insight is why we are doing. And the prediction is how we are doing. So the insight is the reason. It needs to have it. It needs to come from a behavior, from person's behavior, human behavior, data, numbers, facts, anything. And the more specific, the better. As I said before, sometimes you learn something about a brand that is unique. It's like, okay, they did this in the year 1974. This is amazing. And we are 2024, so it's a birthday of this fact. So yeah, it's amazing. The insight sometimes is the idea itself.
And just to reference some language that was used earlier in the conversation about an insight that will stick with me is when Kazuo said, in Brazil, I was Japanese, but in the US, I get to be anything. That's a sentence that's quite lovely. There's a but in the middle of it. You've got like topic A, being Japanese in Brazil, topic B, being anything in the US. And it's like, oh, I hadn't thought about it like that before. That's interesting. So that's the kind of language that I would encourage anyone who's new to insights to play around with. It's in plain sight, this language and these ideas. When it comes to writing up an idea, you encourage people to write a one-liner to put you on the spot, which is what interviews do. Could you give us a one-liner for a campaign you've come up with?
Well, Kobe Bryant retired in 2016, and we had this brief in our table, in our desk. So we thought about Kobe Bryant changed the game. He played by his own rules. So let's get the NBA rules book and change it with Kobe's rules. So we created the Kobe rules books, the rules book with his data, his accomplishments, his records. And this is one idea. I think I told him one sentence, right? With a few commas.
And then if you were to describe the execution in a little bit more detail, because what you encourage is to separate the idea expressed in one sentence from the execution, could you build on what you just said with the execution? You sort of touched on it, but give us a little bit more information as if you were trying to explain the execution.
So as I said, the insight is everything Kobe did, right? He was amazing, amazing player. He did everything. He changed the game. This is the insight. The idea is to change the NBA rules book and transform it into a Kobe rules book. And the execution, okay, let's create designs in every page with his accomplishments. So each page will bring a different technique, a lot of craft, and create these designs telling what he did to change the game.
And then you encourage a PR headline, which really started to bubble up in the world when I believe it was Kristen Porter and Bogusky used to do this. The chief creative officer was like, if you're going to bring me ideas, bring me a press release for the idea. That thought can't be misunderstood. And especially if you're a creative and you've written a press release for your idea and then given that to a PR team and they're like, don't give me that. We don't PR the idea. We PR the company. So there can be some little quirky things going on. PR headline is something you encourage. Could you give me the PR headline for the Kobe idea?
Well, a PR headline is always short. It needs to be short. So it's a great way for you to understand your idea. Okay, what is the main thing about this idea? So in our case, we did it for ESPN. So ESPN created the NBA rules book, changed the NBA rules book with Kobe Bryant's accomplishments. something like this. I'm sure the New York Times would write it this in a way better way. But no, it's great to summarize. Okay, what is the most important thing here? Okay, I need to talk about the client, the product that is, in this case, is Kobe Bryant, and the idea itself that it's rules book. So these things need to be in the headline.
This is also a criteria that we use to define what is a good idea or which idea is the best. So when you read the headline, I don't know, it needs to cause you something. You need to touch you in a way to move you, let you know, like you need to feel something. And if it's not enough, it's because the idea is not good enough.
Awesome. Okay, so you get all of these things together many times over, and then one or two or three ideas survive. How many ideas would you usually present? Are you into like one idea, three?
Each round, we like to bring the maximum of 5 ideas. So when we are talking too much, people get distracted. We will not have, like, let's be honest, in 2 days, 3 days, that is the time we have to come up with ideas. We will not have like 10 great ideas. So even if we have 10 ideas, we select the 5 best or maybe 3-4 best, and we present the one we are confident about. Because sometimes you think, oh, let's tell this insight for the creative directors and maybe they will come up with something. No, no, no. You need to know what you want to. Yeah, we bring 5 and that's it. And in a very simple way. And this is the next topic of the presentation. It's we don't like to waste too much time in this internal presentation. But of course, a few elements, all of them need to be good. So we bring one slide with the idea. So the idea handle needs to be interesting. So you read the name and okay, there's something there. Maybe, oh, the best something in the world. Okay, I want to know about the best something in the world. The explanation needs to be short, simple, and very easy to understand. And the image we're bringing as reference needs to be amazing. Needs to be like, okay, I want to have something like this in my book, in the agency's portfolio. The client will love this reference. So few things, but the right ones.
Yeah, I think it's a way for us to set what we want people to see. Because that's it. The clients don't have the same background as us, or they didn't study advertising, for example. So when you show the reference, when you show like a very concise copy, but tells everything that you need, and it's powerful, and it looks good, it looks bold, doesn't like mean that it's going to be big, but it's going to be bold. When you show everything, a great image, they can envision, they can see the idea happening, taking place somewhere. And that's, I think, how they open their wallet and they invest the budget, you know, because they are convinced that it's going to be amazing for them.
For what it's worth, I really relate to this way of working. The opposite of this way of working is ignoring the brief, not paying attention to the world, not paying attention to other advertising. It's not understanding the difference between an idea and an execution, or even a manifesto, a slogan, a hashtag. It's not giving the idea a name, like idea one, direction one. Don't do that. Give the idea a name. Like, what are you doing? Otherwise, somebody's going to call your idea the gorilla idea. And you're like, no, that's not the name. And then you're going to have to name it, right? But there's a level of discipline here. And it's simple, it's concise, but the discipline allows the chaos to happen. Otherwise, people are just in chaos all the time, right?
You need to organize the chaos for sure. We as creative, we think, okay, yeah, I have my process. I go to the park and I drink something and I'll come up with ideas. I'm very crazy. No, no. You need to have a process. We like to compare ourselves to athletes, actually. If you're playing for a big agency or playing for a big team, it's like you need to be well, even your body. You cannot be drunk in one day and then go to work at 8 a.m. You will not perform well. You need to be well with yourself.
Because all of England is booing right now.
Yeah, for sure. No, I know. I love to drink as well. And we work for Smirnoff. It's hard not to have a Smirnoff now, like drinking cocktails during this chat. This is the part. You are competing with the best in the world if you're in a great agency. So you're playing in a big league. If you want to be the top scorer, you have to perform.
And also, if I can add here, I don't think everybody needs to have the same mindset. This is another important thing for us to discuss about, because I don't know, a few years ago, like at least in Brazil, this is what the mindset was like, oh, we need to work a lot and work overnight and work during the weekends and this kind of stuff. And now I think at least in Brazil, they are in a better place. I see some evolution, but at the same time, it's important for people to understand that sometimes they will have to go the extra mile. they will have to put more effort than other people, like to be highlighted, you know, to be in the spotlight. It's important to understand this. I'm not saying, oh, go crazy, work every day until midnight. No, but find time, be organized with your time, have discipline. The things you said, like study a lot, this kind of stuff that helps you to improve. Study your behavior, you know, like how do you behave? Study this kind of thing so you can understand where you have room to improve.
No, and even if it's during your 8 hours, during your work day, you don't need to work extra hours. You can make your 8 hours be amazing and productive and be focused.
I was going to say, Kazu, I think like to be the best of the best, if it's your dream, you're gonna give up on a lot of things. And that's it. Like, I'm sorry to say this, but there are other options. I'm not saying everybody needs to have the same goal. It's just a matter of understanding what you want to do, who you want to be, you know, and that's it. Like, if you understand this, you're going to be very happy because you will find time to do your stuff and you'll get there.
There's a bunch of research about you could be creative, but you have to have a work ethic, as in be high in conscientiousness, which is one of the big five personality traits if you want to have success. Final question. It's been great to have this conversation, and thank you for indulging me with a little bit of Brazilian chat. I really appreciate it. We probably have quite a lot of strategists listening to this. From both of you, briefly, how can a strategist be their most useful to a creative team? One tip from each of you.
Sometimes we see like, oh, the strategy has the brief and they're writing the brief. It's been 2 months and you have one day to come up with ideas. I understand, of course, it's very, very important to have the right information, the right brief. Otherwise, we'll not have the right answer, right? But yeah, being fast will help. But no, seriously, we worked with amazing strategists and the best ones were the ones that tried to help us coming up with insights already and really, really digging, not doing just the, okay, let's go to the client's website and copy and paste, but really thinking about the problem, thinking about the strategy. And this is a differential. As we said, most of people are not doing the basic. So if you do the basic, it's already amazing.
We have this story. We were working at this agency in Brazil and for a very traditional brand there. And the strategist brought us something like, oh, they want to be authentic. I was like, really? I think I have never seen like a brand telling that they want to copy other brands. Like, it's basically like every brand try to do is to be original, like to have something to say so people can pay attention or not. So I think this is what Kazu said is very, it's true. Like, it's very helpful when we see that a strategist is like really digged it, you know, like really dig into a subject. So I think this is important. And another thing, I would say talk to creatives. Sometimes it's not so powerful, but sometimes it's interesting. But then when the creative gets the brief, you just can come up with ideas. It's difficult. It's not very helpful. It's not good. So sometimes it looks good. But when you have to write or when you have to show it in a visual way, it's not easy. So like try to talk to creatives in a way that you can exchange, you can learn the process, you can learn like how you can improve the insight or the way you're telling the insight. So creatives, we have like material to work on.
So strategists, watch the strategy cliches. Authenticity, I don't like using that word at all. I don't like using big words if I don't have to. But when someone says we want to be authentic, just say, what do you mean by that? I guarantee they won't have a good answer. And the only way that I've actually understood authenticity in a useful way is through the philosopher Nietzsche. Authenticity is about the good things and the bad things. It's about realizing that you're a full human who is sometimes a bit naughty and sometimes good. That's authenticity, and most brands wouldn't do that. And then I think the second one for the upcoming strategist, it's not losing to talk to other people and to use their words in your work. That's winning. It's a team sport. So I would encourage that too. Big thanks to both of you for sharing a little bit of Brazil with me, but also how you approach ideas. Like I said, I'll put a link to the document in the show notes. I wish you both the biggest of careers and lives in the US. Really appreciate you being here with me today on Sweathead.
Thank you so much for having us here. We love the show. I think it's really powerful to see this kind of content because it changed people's careers and then lives.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Peace. Thank you for listening to this episode of Sweathead. If you enjoyed it, please share it with a friend, subscribe to our newsletter, find us on Instagram or LinkedIn at Sweathead. And if you're interested in finding out about our strategy, memberships, company training, or books, visit sweathead.com. Whoop, whoop.